Well, here we are in our Bible study segment, ladies, and our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert, is here. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Hey there, Amy. Well, yesterday we saw the end of Ahithophel as he realizes his advice is not being taken and he can see the writing on the wall. He knows what's coming next. So if you have your Bibles, today we're going to pick back up in 2 Samuel. We're going to be reading in chapter 18, verses 1 through 18. Then David mustered the men who were with him and set over them commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds. And David sent out the army, one-third under the command of Joab, one-third under the command of Abishai the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and one-third under the command of Ittai the Gittite. And the king said to the men, I myself will also go out with you. But the men said, You shall not go out, for if we flee, they will not care about us. If half of us die, they will not care about us. But you are worth 10,000 of us. Therefore it is better that you send us help from the city. Then the king said to them, Whatever seems best to you, I will do. So the king stood at the side of the gate, while all the army marched out by hundreds and by thousands. And the king ordered Joab and Abishai and Ittai, Deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave orders to all the commanders about Absalom. So the army went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was fought in the forest of Ephraim. And the men of Israel were defeated there by the servants of David, and the loss was great on that day, 20,000 men. The battle spread over the face of all the country, and the forest devoured more people that day than the sword. And Absalom happened to meet the servants of David. Absalom was riding on his mule, and the mule went under the thick branches of a great oak, and his head caught fast in the oak, and he was suspended between heaven and earth, while the mule that was under him went on. And a certain man saw it and told Joab, Behold, I saw Absalom hanging in an oak. Joab said to the man who told him, What, you saw him? Why did you not strike him there to the ground? I would have been glad to give you 10 pieces of silver and a belt. But the man said to Joab, Even if I felt in my hand the weight of 1,000 pieces of silver, I would not reach out my hand against the son of the king. For in our hearing the king commanded you and Abishai the Gittite, For my sake protect the young man Absalom. On the other hand, if I had dealt treacherously against his life, and there is nothing hidden from the king, then you yourself would have stood aloof. Joab said, I will not waste time like this with you. And he took 3 javelins in his hand and thrust them into the heart of Absalom while he was still alive in the oak. And 10 young men, Joab's armor-bearers, surrounded Absalom and struck him and killed him. Then Joab blew the trumpet, and the troops came back from pursuing Israel, for Joab restrained them. And they took Absalom and threw him into a great pit in the forest, and raised over him a very great heap of stones. And all Israel fled, every one to his own home. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and set up for himself the pillar that is at the king's valley, for he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. He called the pillar after his own name, and it is called Absalom's monument to this day. Well, David has found rest, he's found friends to unite with him, and those friends provided food and supplies for him and the people with him. Now David is ready to act. He first sets leaders over the people and then divides the army into thirds. And David, the mighty warrior, is also ready to go out with the men, but his men wisely refuse to let him take this risk. David isn't as young as he once was, and it will be easier to harm him at this point, but I don't think that's the main reason they refuse him. They know that his life is the one that is most sought after, not theirs. And they know that he must be kept alive and safe in order for Absalom to be defeated. And we see here that David still loves and is concerned for his son Absalom. He takes his 3 generals aside and orders them to deal gently with Absalom. Notice he doesn't say, make sure you bring him back alive. He just says to be gentle with him. I wonder if David wanted him kept alive, or if David understood that keeping Absalom alive might not be possible. And in the event that it wasn't, he asks them not to torture Absalom before killing him? Still, the order is given by David. It is a public order that all the men hear, and then battle is engaged. As we see what Joab ends up doing, I think David might ought to have been a wee bit more specific on that one. But as the battle is engaged, David's men defeat Israel's army. Wow. I mean, wow, David certainly didn't have numbers on his side, but he did have God. Remember when David finally was acknowledged as king over Israel and Judah after Abner brokered the deal? At that point, civil war had already been raging in the country, and this time, there's more civil war. We have a battle fought of brother against brother again, and the death toll is staggering, 20,000 men. Absalom's greed has caused this battle, but even more than that, David's lack of discipline for his son has led to this battle. It's no wonder that after the battle is decided, the fighting spread out into the forest as men tried to stay alive, and men got lost in the forest. As the battle raged, Absalom's men scattered and fled in panic. They fled wherever they could, and many ended up fleeing into the forest where they found themselves falling into pits, getting trapped in the underbrush, and generally being unable to avoid the onslaught of David's army. These people were killed not with the sword, but as a result of their own panic and their inability to get out of the way as David's troops advanced. And then we find out what happened to Absalom in all of this. Absalom was riding his horse into the forest, and his head was caught in the branches of a great oak tree. And his horse kept on going, and Absalom is left there, hanging. He's not suffocating, but he is trapped. Some versions of the Bible say his hair, and some say his head, but we know that Absalom's handsome head is quite literally the death of him. The man who saw this reports this to Joab, and Joab is astounded and mocks this man, telling him that he would have rewarded him if he'd just have killed Absalom where he was trapped. But this man was more righteous than Joab. He reminds Joab that he heard what David said. Indeed, all the people around heard David tell Joab and Abishai and Ittai to deal gently with Absalom. Because of that, this guy isn't going to hurt Absalom. Not to mention, this guy knows Joab pretty well, too. And he even says, besides, if I had killed Absalom, you wouldn't have hidden that from David and he'd still have killed me. Joab's response, I don't care. You're wasting my time even reminding me of this. Consider again that Joab was completely unmoved at the burial of Abner when David points out Joab's guilt in Abner's death. It really isn't a surprise that when this man reminds Joab of what David had said, that Joab's conscience isn't pricked and he doesn't change his mind. Joab then goes, taking 3 javelins and spears Absalom while he hangs, still alive, but trapped in that tree. And then, as Absalom is still trapped there, dying, 10 of Joab's armor-bearers finish Absalom off. Can you see Joab and his men's anger at Absalom? They don't just disobey the king's orders and kill Absalom, they overkill him. They aren't done with him once he's dead, though. Again, this shows the depth of their anger and the passion behind their actions. They throw his body into a pit, put a bunch of stones on top of it, in a mimicry of the monument that Absalom had built to himself. He probably got the idea from Saul, who also built himself a monument. But the plot is foiled and Absalom is dead. Now, this isn't the end of the story, but we're pausing here for today before continuing. As you consider this section, can you picture the scene? The death and the brutality of it all as you watch brothers fight brothers and fathers fight sons. How horrible this must have been for everyone involved. David doesn't even know that his son is dead yet, and still this whole scene leaves me with a nasty taste in my mouth. Why? Because it didn't have to be this way. None of it. All of this is because of sin. David's sin with Bathsheba, David's sin in not disciplining his sons, and then Absalom rebelling, and then Joab going against David's orders and utterly destroying Absalom. Can you see how much grief sin causes? It's so far flung. It isn't just, oh, well, this is just between me and God. It never is. It always spills over. Had David made a different choice on that rooftop? Had David not even been on that rooftop? The whole chain of events would not have led to here. Think about it. One hurtful, poisonous comment, and you can break a heart that will break others. One careless action can impact you the rest of your life. It does matter what we do. We must be careful to keep our eyes on Him so the impact of sin on our lives isn't so horribly devastating. Yes, we will still sin. We're not perfect. But that's not a license to go ahead and do whatever you want to. My question for us today is this. What sin are you holding on to, telling yourself that it doesn't really matter or it doesn't impact others? Can you think of an example from your life of a sin you committed that you may still be dealing with the consequences of, even though you are forgiven? Sin hurts. If there's something you're still holding on to today, telling yourself it isn't harmful, stop it. Let it go and ask God to help you to turn from that sin and to turn to Him.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.